Why is that?
Well, one of the reasons that we were told is that there was a lot of records in the in that building that they wanted to try to recover. So not only were they looking for the regular items that they were looking for additional items. So that's why they screened it different, you know, because there was, I think, you know, criminal cases, drug cases that were pending, and they wanted to try to, you know, save all the records that were in there.
Was it like were the FBI in Building 7 or?
Well, I don't know who was actually in it, but I know on the landfill we had Secret Service, FBI. We had a little area that, if you walked in there, they'd come out with their guns and say, "You're not allowed here." And so I
Wow.
told them who I was and said, "You know, I'll throw all yous off. So what do I care?" So they didn't ever bother me, but they bothered the other people. But yeah, no, we had out at the landfill there was a tremendous amount of groups. I mean, it was a group effort. I mean, you had Red Cross, you had the National Guard, you had everybody out there, police, fire, you know, sanitation, Secret Service, EPA, you know, it's a whole list. I'd have to pull out the list to read it. You know, everybody was out there. I mean, in the beginning, we had a heliport right on the landfill, and I actually took a couple of rides. We'd take a ride down to Ground Zero and a ride back, you know, through the Army, you know. And then as time went on, we needed all that space, so that all disappeared, and there was no need to be taking rides or anything like that. So, you know, in the beginning, everything came, and then we sorted out what we needed. There was a gentleman, Ben Turner, and he worked for, I'm trying to think of the firm. He was kind of hired by the Army Corps of Engineers, I think it is, and we used him to coordinate between the different agencies up on top. So like he took control of the screen halls and all, make sure that, you know, they didn't give us 50 screen halls. We didn't have the area for that. So he made sure, like he got the contracts with the different, like Taylor and all of these screen halls, and set them up for the police so they could do their little investigation. We unloaded the material and sanitation. That's what we always did, you know. I mean, but Ben Phillips and Jordan was his company, and it was a valuable asset to us. He got the, I directed him right away to do the health and safety plan, so everybody was on the same page. And then he coordinated with the police, like how many screen doors and set it up for them and things like that. This way, because otherwise, if you don't have somebody in charge, it gets very confusing. You know, so, and you're dealing with another agency, so there is a little attitude issue. And so he was kind of the referee, umpire, mediator, negotiator. So that worked out well too, you know, because you don't want the agencies fighting between themselves, who's in charge and who isn't in charge and things like that.
How many people do you think were sort of in charge of their agencies while they were there?
Well, it wasn't so much. It's like there's one person, like at Fresh Kills, there was one police guy in charge. You know, Jimmy Alonji, not Alonji, Jimmy, I'm thinking of his name too. It's been 12 years, 11, 10 years. He was in charge of the police. Myself, Mike Mucci, and Dennis Diggins were in charge of sanitation. We were totally in charge. You know, I don't think it's a matter, like, you know who's in charge of the agencies. You want to make sure that the agencies think they can overstep their charge. And I don't want to be negative in any of this. It's like, in the beginning, you know, and everything was hitting the thing. You know, people wanted to park their cars up on the top of the landfill, and we don't allow that. I mean, that just gets in the way. So, you know, we'd take it. So, of course, you'd get the typical thing, "Well, I'm a police guy." "Well, we don't care. We'll take your car and throw it away. We really don't care about who you are. You're not allowed up here." You know what I mean? This isn't your landfill. This is, you know, you can't drive up here. End of story. Because you just cause it's safety issues and other issues with vehicles. But that got under control right away, and you knew who was in charge. Who was in charge of the police? Who was in charge of us? And we had Ben Turner there, and we'd meet every day. You know, all the groups would meet every day and go over it. And I mean, the basic line was, "Hey, you had a job to do. Let's get it done. Stop the baby stuff." You know.
So you were at Fresh Kills all the time for, or
No, I was at Boat Spots.
okay.
Like, it wasn't uncommon as time went on, I would leave the main office and go out to Fresh Kills to see. But I met down at Chamber Street every day, you know, in the beginning. Like, the day it happened, the very next day we went to Queens. And from Queens, I couldn't get anything then, so I went right back down to Manhattan. So I was one of the first guys into the main office again in Manhattan.
Oh, because they cleared out the buildings?
They cleared out, but I just went down. I didn't listen to anything. I just went back down there that next day just to get things done. And then people started coming back, and my people came. And, you know, because we had to meet every day over at Ground Zero and everything. So, you know, we had to be right in the middle of it. And then I would go take, you know, we'd go out to Fresh Kills. Yeah, I was back and forth the whole 9 months in between the other stuff that went on. So, but when you did ask me, and I know I lost it for a minute, but, you know, it was, it kind of kept my sanity, the work I had to do, you know, with, because I had two small children at the time, so, mm-hmm. you know, so it was rough.
Mm-hmm. So. And were you living in the Bronx at the time?
I was living in Yonkers. I'm living in the same spot I'm living now, you know, so.
So you were traveling a lot.
Yeah, so, the main thing is they got the call that day that I was fine, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess after 9 months, about?
Yeah, it was September 11th till June. I think June we officially wrapped up the operation out there. And, you know, there was an executive order issued in December to keep the landfill open for the sake of the Trade Center, so we did. And, you know, since that time, which this is 2002 that was, I mean, to now, they're actually letting out the cover contract to cover 1 and 9 coming up this year. You know, one of the holdups on that was there was a lawsuit with the victims of the families of the victims of 9/11. You know, to remove the material from the landfill, and I think a federal judge ruled on it that it would stay where it is, you know.
Wow.
You know, so that went on for many, many years, and that's why it's not closed, but, you know, they're going to start this year to close it.
Were they, were there human remains in
the Well, landfill? I mean, that's one of the arguments. I mean, we did the screening, and the police did the screening to the best of their ability, and you know, they're pretty confident that they got everything, you know, but, you know, in theory, I mean, one of the things that I know when I used to talk to people about it is you had two 110-story buildings, and they both collapsed. And if you think about it, I mean, we're in an office here with furniture and computers and all. You didn't see anything.
There was just nothing distinguishable.
You didn't see any tables. You didn't see nothing. It was all dust. Because of the force that it collapsed. You know, the other things is the, out of Fresh Kills, we had the cars. In other words, yeah, what happened is you had a lot of the smashed vehicles that were around the Trade Center. In addition, you had a lot of agency vehicles, police, fire, you know, fire trucks and all that were kind of smashed up. But when they started getting down towards the end, there's like 3 or 4 floors on the ground that are garages. So some of the cars were driven right out of there, you know, like, and we took them to Fresh Kills. And one of the issues that we had to negotiate all of this was with the insurance company, whether to let the people get their cars back. You know, so as it turned out, the only people that could get it back is if they get a certified asbestos cleaning of the vehicle before they take it back. So not too many people did that. Because mm-hmm. that was a very high cost. I don't know if it was, I mean, don't quote me on the number. I mean, it was thousands of dollars to get that done. You know, a lot of these cars were probably used cars that, you know, nobody worried about. And they didn't want to chance it even after it was cleaned. Maybe some of the people said, you know, that's it, just leave it go. But, we had all the cars, and the people could come out, and they could get their, you know, if there was any property in the cars, and, you know, things like that.